Hey everybody, welcome to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. I'm your host, Brenton Bickerstaff. I want to start the show this week with an apology. For those who were listening to the show last week, we had a little technical difficulty in the last segment of the show. You guys know how technology goes in the new age, and I apologize for all those who were listening, and I promise it won't happen again. But this week on the show, guys, I'm excited about J. Everett Erion. J. Everett Erion was a quiet but powerful force in the background of the organization that grew up around the wisdom that came through Edgar Cayce. He's a certified public accountant by training, but Everett came to the ARE to become business manager and treasurer of the organization. As it turned out, Everett did much more than just the accounting. He had a lively, inquiring mind and a fascination with the information in the Edgar Cayce psychic readings. He enjoyed sharing the information in the readings through individual counseling sessions, lectures, and books, including Edgar Cayce on the Revelation and Vibrations. To download the 40-day forgiveness prayer inspired by his work, visit edgarcayce.org/prayer. That's edgarcayce.org/prayer. Hope you guys enjoy the lecture from J. Everett Erion.
You know, it has been said that people don't like my presentations because I tell you how bad you are all through the talk, and finally right at the end, I'll say, now there is a saving factor if you want to do it. Maybe this is what I do. I don't know. But I think we need to look at ourselves, especially during this week when we have the power of total living as a way to look at ourselves. Most of us do not look at us. It has been said that most of us only look at us about 5% of the time. The rest of the time, we're looking into an unknown future studded with the diamonds and brilliance of what we want, or into the past, looking at the horrible mess that's behind us. Only a little bit of the time do we dare to look at us now. But each moment must be a living experience for us, or should be, but we do not do it that way. We go contrary to the power of living which is in us. I know a man who made $1 million, and he says, there are times when I wish that I didn't have all this money. I was really happy when I had just had a little shop. I expanded and made a big shop, now I'm worth $1 million. I just wish I didn't have it. He must have meant that. For a year later, he died, holding tightly on to his $1 million. Now, there's more to that than that, but all I'm illustrating is that we do not possess anything that we hold on to tightly. We have to turn it loose. Only by turning loose then of our concepts of our worth or of what we want may we get the true message. You cannot hold on to anything and keep it. Even a principle. If you hold on to a principle, you will be blinded to other principles that are within that principle, for no principle works by itself. Other principles are involved. And until we can begin to act like that, act like a little bit of, well, with a little bit of faith that it's good for us. And we cannot know that until we do it. Then and then only can we come to the conclusion that there is something good there. We don't normally look at things in this manner. Can we do it? Yes, we can. If we dare. But this whole thing of living by principles is active in our life. Now, I've talked about a little bit about principles in our life. Let's take this principle of acceptance into nature. How does it show up in nature? The principle of acceptance. How does it show up? It is in nature, and we say that we love nature and we go on nature walks and so forth and look at the beauty, but do we look at the principles involved? How can we do that? All of nature or just a part of nature? We go out and we look at trees. Is not the acceptance principle in that? Is not gravity in that? Is not sunlight in that? Principles of expression? Are they all not involved? What is the principle behind a tree? Is it just that to be a tree? What is it for? What is it manifesting for? This presents to us the principle, if we will but accept it. All the trees and their fruit were for man. But we look at them and say, isn't it beautiful? Sometimes we take a peach off a tree, or whatnot. But here again, we are dealing with the fruit and not the principle. So how does the principle work in nature? The principle of acceptance is through all nature in the germination of seeds, for instance. For here is the male-female principle working in nature. Isn't that acceptance? It is, or it wouldn't act that way. So acceptance principle is in all nature. When are we going to pay attention to the acceptance principle? It's here manifested before us every day of our lives, and we pay no attention to it as a principle, but we hide behind or envision what we want. Our wants are a principle too. It's the right to be a creator. But how can we find this in nature? You know, the best way to find it in nature, I think, is a little puppy dog. A little puppy dog will naturally want to love you. Unless you reject him, he's going to love you. And he doesn't make any discrimination between people, like we do. He loves anybody who, especially those who will take him in their arms. He'll lick your face. He accepts you. Isn't that a manifestation of acceptance principle? No, we don't say that. That's just nature for a little puppy dog. You see, we don't pay attention to principles around us. This is what I'm getting at. And yet this puppy dog is highly efficient in the healing process of sick people. It is beginning to be recognized by the medical world as one of the greatest things that can happen in the sick wards. A puppy dog can cause a person to change completely and get well. They are the greatest companions for sick people. They do more for healing than all the medicines the doctor can give, and the doctor don't know what's happening. The puppy dog is merely working with the principle of acceptance. He doesn't know words, he doesn't know anything about medicine, but he accepts us as we are. So not knowing is the demonstration of total acceptance. Just like us, though, when something happens to us, we don't know why it occurs, so we reject it. But the puppy dog accepts it. He accepts it, we accept him, and there is a healing. Can't that too work in us when we would accept what other people do to us? No, I believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and I'm going to live by it. I've been taught that. I've been taught to fight back, to reject what I see in people that I don't like. So we reject people all over the place. We do not act like a little puppy dog and accept others as they are. Can't we take a lesson from nature, from the seeds in the tree, the honeybees, the birds? Don't they accept one another? Birds of a feather flock together. Okay, some birds fight other birds, usually over food, though. But, all right, there is an acceptance principle in nature, in the flowers, in the trees, in the animal world, and we don't pay any attention to the principles involved. We don't live by principles in our life because we focus on what we want. And most of the time, we dwell in an imaginary future. Even when we get up and walk out of this room, we're going to an imagined future, or we wouldn't go anywhere. We just sit. So we have to have a future of some kind. We hold expectancies of what we want, though, rather than what is there for us to see. So we abandon a growing experience, for only when we accept something can we grow. Just as we accept food as children so that we will grow up. It's a growing experience. It is a growing experience for the tree. As it grows to a height and through time until it can bear fruit, it has accepted that responsibility within itself.
And we'll be right back with more from J. Everett Erion here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into the lecture from J. Everett Erion.
The whole acceptance principle is manifested in that. So we do not pay attention to what we accept or reject. We pay attention to what we want and what we like and what we don't like. Let's bring it back to man for a moment. How is this same natural acceptance principle working in us? Now, not in human relationships. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that natural acceptance principle that we can find in nature. How does it work in us? Food is one thing. When we take in food, the body takes that, assimilates that, and we can stay alive. So the acceptance principle is working in the body, whether we had thought of it or not. It is working in the body. It is part of our daily living. But we don't look at that as being anything except, I've got to feed the body. We don't look at the principles involved. But the activity of acceptance by the body goes on just the same. Now we take the male-female principle, the acceptance of this as an activity within us. So we separate ourselves into male and female and work with our concepts of the male-female principle, regardless of what goes on in the body, regardless of what food we take in. But this male-female principle is only 1/1000th or less than that, of the activity of the acceptance principle through sexuality going on in the body. We have built a boogaboo out of the sexual part of our lives, but the sexual activity as a principle is manifesting every second of every day. Every moment, there are more than 400 million new red blood cells alone created in your body. This is an acceptance principle of fulfilling the necessities of living in a body. This manifestation of acceptance, just the same as in nature, is in our body to the same extent. We, of course, get the wrong idea about this, but this sexuality goes on from the first breath to the last breath in our lives. It is a necessary thing. And this is just a manifestation of the acceptance principle going on in us. We live with it. We couldn't live without it. But we reject it as a principle when our very bodies tell us this is the manifesting principle of acceptance of us being in the earth, working in the body. That it is greater than what we think it is. It is necessary for us to get a look at us to know what we're all about. So this works in us, in making us what we are. This acceptance principle works in us when we make us. Let me show you how this works. We go, as children, we are taught to learn time. So we learn to know time. It is taught to us by our parents. How can you learn something that is not taught by your parents? Now, This learning process is most active from our first breath until we're about 6 years old. At 6 years old, we have built our character. And this character, from 6 years old on, is the basis for our reactions in life. And it goes all through life. If you think it doesn't, look at your dreams and find out where you, those that picture where you used to live. You'll find that this is going back in your life to a foundation of what you be now. And this is looking back, the dream is looking back and asking you to look at where you, at what is in you now and where you formed it in order that you can handle a present situation. So we learn from our parents. That's not the only way we learn, though. The greatest way we learn is from our parents to begin with, or those around us, who are we take as models. And we model our reactions as children according to what we see in our parents, what we see in our brothers, our sisters, our uncles, everybody. The child takes the model and models its life according to what it sees in its parents. I'll give you an illustration. Parents that I knew had a three-year-old girl. And this girl, this three-year-old girl, was very adept at being a kleptomaniac. And she was causing a great deal of consternation. They couldn't take her shopping anywhere or visiting, she would take things. It was so disturbing to the parents that they took her to a psychiatrist. Within 3 weeks of three sessions, the psychiatrist called the mother in, said, "I think you are the one who needs the treatment, not the child." The mother was a kleptomaniac, and the child had learned it there as a model. We model our lives after those around us. This is true today for all of us. When we see when somebody hurts us, we hurt them back, don't we? We're taking this hurting each other as a model by which we're going to live. An eye for an eye as a principle. I'll do to you as you do to me. This is a model for us that we latch on to in living instead of the seeing the acceptance principle, even in that rejection of somebody who comes up and slaps me, and I slap him in return. Am I not accepting that as a criterion for a response to him? I am using that acceptance principle in doing unto him as he did to me. Is that what we're supposed to do? Do we fight nature when nature gives us a beautiful peach? Or a sour peach when it's supposed to be sweet? Oh, we can go ahead and throw that one away and go get another one. That's not the point. We are using the acceptance principle in everyday living, but we get the wrong results because we do not practice the principle of accepting us as we are. That was in what I said in the beginning here. We focus our attention on an unknown future and or on my known past. I do not accept my past, and I hope that I can accept my future if it will be come to me the way I want it. Otherwise, I'm going to reject it. So we have big ifs. I'll treat you as you would treat me if you'll treat me right. Symbolize when I smile at you. Try yourself in the grocery store. When you smile at people, you get a smile in return, don't you? If you're grumpy, don't you get a grumpiness back? The acceptance principle is involved here. Acceptance and rejections is a part of our living. Let's begin to look at it as principles, though, instead of what happens, as the facts that happen. We're talking to others with the same potential of expression that we talk to ourselves, but we don't want to do that. We want others to act like we want them to, and if we they'll smile at me, I'll smile at them. But if they don't smile at me, I'm not going to smile at them. Very simple. But we pay attention to facts and what we like instead of the principles involved. I don't expect you to go out of here and talk about principles, to live, try to live it. I do expect you to take a look at what is really happening to us. When it really looks like that we ought to, well, sometimes things happen later, we'll see it was good for us. But how can we begin to look at what happens to us? We can learn and see the good in it. Now, okay, let's look at it this way. When someone we care for dies, we say, why did this happen to this child, we'll say. So we cry because our grandmother passes away. How long would we keep a child? How long would we keep a parent? It goes against nature for them to live forever. Yet we're never willing to let him pass. It's our ones we're holding on to and not their life, because that's their life. We can't hold on to their life. Oh, we can make them a part of our life, so it seems. Here again, we're holding on to our wants and not to the principles of living. So in personal relations, this principle works. The good and the bad both work. It is, we are working with it at all times, acceptance or rejection. The yin and the yang. The good and the bad. We're working that, with that principle I set before the life. Good and evil. Choose. This is what we're working with. We choose, though, have been taught to learn to choose what we want instead of what we need. We go to all sorts of ways to look at things and to work with things, not in the way we maybe ought to, but the way we want to. Let's look at this principle, the puppy principle, in living. A mother has a child, and she accepts it as her child totally. And that child can do no wrong. It just isn't possible for my child to do wrong. As this girl I told you about, this 3-year-old child, the mother did not believe that the child could do that until they found out that the mother was the model that the child had followed. A year later, the child had gotten rid of that entirely.
And we'll be right back with more from J. Everett Erion, here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. We'll get right back into the lecture from J. Everett Erion.
The mother was still taking therapy. But here was the problem, in the parent. Yet, would this mother have deliberately taught the child to be a kleptomaniac? The mother accepts the child, and the child can do no wrong. Parents, too. But is this right or wrong? How do we model ourselves in front of the child? We must look at every act that we do and the purposes in which we do it to see if it's conformed with some principle that we might find in our lives. And this whole week is on the power of total living. It's like this. When I form an idea, this idea, if it's a way to react, I form my way of doing this idea. In other words, let's bring it down to a personal thing. I form my ideas about you, Frank. And each one of us form our own ideas about each other, do we not? Now, who is the creator of that form of idea? Isn't it us? Do not we form an idea about others? Is it anybody else's idea? No, it cannot be. You might form an idea a different way from somebody else's thinking, but it is us that form the idea. How are we going to handle this then when we meet each other? When I meet Frank, and he's mad at me, and I'm responding to him. Now, let's look at what has happened. Let's look at the principle involved. The principle is one of total living, where also something else is involved. I said there is much more than just one thing involved in every movement that we do. When I see Frank doing something that's not in accord with what I think Frank ought to do, remember, it's not in accord with what I think Frank ought to do, then I say, Frank, you are doing wrong. You ought not to do it that way, and you are so-and-so, you are wrong. I build up a hatred for Frank, and he builds up one for me, so that I don't like Frank. All right, now, who built up my dislike? Didn't I? But I judge Frank. I say, Frank, you did this to me. You did this to others. I see you do it. Never looking at who is the creator of my concepts of Frank. Until we can begin to look at this, who creates me? We are going to call in the rejection principle instead of the acceptance principle. And we're going to live a haphazard, naughty little, nasty life and continue to make mistakes and have a lot of trash left over. Until we can do this, and how can I do it? When I can realize that it's impossible for me to judge Frank in any manner whatsoever. I am judging my concepts of Frank and not Frank in any manner whatsoever. Had nothing to do with him. Nothing. What did Jesus say? Judge not that ye be not judged, for if you do, you're judged already. And we never hear that preached from the pulpit. Very simple, everyday living experience. And how can you not judge somebody else except that you realize you cannot judge them? You can only judge yourself, your own concepts. It is impossible to judge somebody else. This is one way to turn the face the other way, facing what our wants out there and facing the Creator inside of us. If I judge Frank, I am passing judgment on my concepts of Frank and has nothing to do with Frank. It's impossible for us to judge another person. This is one simple way that we can begin to live a different life. When we get rid of this one and we won't judge anybody, what's going to happen? You're going to accept people as you are, as a puppy accepts us. He doesn't judge us. He works by the principle totally of acceptance or rejection. Okay, the puppy grows up and does something that he ought not to, so I spank him. And what does the puppy do? He will grovel until I, in words, express a vibration there that he will know, and they all will do it, that he is forgiven. And he forgives you totally and comes and licks your face and loves you. As people act in that similar fashion, do we dare? Do we dare not judge each other? It's impossible if you just think about it, and it won't take long to think about it, that we build our concepts of others and we judge them from our concepts. Why in the world don't we give them the right to be themselves? Why, how can we know others? We can't. We can only know us, but we don't pay any attention to what we have built inside of us regarding our relationships with others. I'm talking about the acceptance principle. When are we going to accept the fact that we create us? Psychologists all admit that we are the creator of our consciousness. Eric Casey says it all through his reading. But we don't believe that because we keep on judging others. I don't know what greater truth you can get in your life, but you have to do it. Nobody can demonstrate it to you except you be whatever you are without judging others. When you will quit judging others, people will begin to come to you and say, what have you got that I haven't got? How can you live like that when people are doing things to you that they are? How can you live with not doing that. Total living is recognizing what happens. Putting in a proper perspective and not fighting back, not objecting. Living with this acceptance principle rather than the opposite of rejection. So this acceptance principle runs through us in everything that we do until we can begin to work with that as a principle. We cannot know the power of total living, for we live with our concepts and our wants rather than what life is saying to us. As the principles are manifested in nature, in animals, in each other, we can, by accepting them as they are, live a total life. And until we do that, well, we are, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, we are not living a total living experience. I have given my life to my habits, and they live us. I have told them to express, and they live us. And we don't live. Our habits rule us, and we have quit living, focusing not on the moment, but on what I want to happen this afternoon, tomorrow, next week when I get back home. This is my whole thing and back here, and we're thinking, how are we going to demonstrate this when we get back home? All kinds of things. We're living in our ideas, but not fixed ideas. Our fixed ideas are our gods. They rule us. They live our life. So we have given our life to our idols of fixed concepts. We don't live. How are we going to live with an understanding the power behind total living when we don't live 95% of the time? 95% of the time, our habits rule us. We have given our life to the habits, and they are ruling us. Can we live 5% of the time? Can we stretch it, make it 6 or 7? These are just ways that we can live. If we will live by this principle of acceptance, it is all in our life, in every moment of our life. It is active, just as active as time. We can begin to get our tooth into acceptance of each other. We model it to each other when puppies are around. Our children, we accept the children, but don't accept the mother who made that child. I'm the mother of this child. So we are totally rejecting and accepting the way we want to all the time. Can we begin just once to work with the principle of accepting me? I created me. You didn't. I did. I'm responsible. So can I? So it goes away from judging others. I have to accept me as I am, because that's the way I am. When we accept me as I am, I'm going to accept you as you are. What happens? One thing happens that you cannot have. You cannot do it. You cannot know except as experience. That's love. We'll talk about that some more. If there are questions at this point, we have a few moments for questions. We have 10 minutes. Would you like questions?
And we'll be right back with more from J. Everett Erion here on Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Welcome back to Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Now we'll take a listen as J. Everett Erion takes questions from the audience. Hope y'all enjoy.
What mechanical device can the individual have that will keep that little process working?
Let me ask you a question. Why do you want a mechanical device instead of a willful device?
Any device.
You have to hold to a principle of consciousness, and that's hold to what you be, recognizing that you are responsible for you. At that point, then you can gradually see it's a learning process. You cannot do it and automatically get the idea and do it. It's impossible. You have to learn step by step. But we are in an evolutionary period. We are all evolving to a higher consciousness, and maybe fortunately, because how else can we learn to be co-creators with God except we take it step by step? We have to learn how to do it, and this takes taking responsibility for what we do. And that cannot be learned all at one time. But this is the mercy in living a lifetime. So there is no mechanics that can fit anybody except you. And when you do it mechanically, it won't mean a thing. It won't happen to you because you have to be conscious of your principles. And this takes effort. There's no panacea, no magic. But the magic will occur when you accept others as they are. And this is the acceptance principle when you make it in your life by demonstrating it to others. Then you begin to learn. But you're never going to have a full understanding of it. At least I believe I can't, and I've been working with it for many years, acceptance of what happens. And I still am learning. And I still do not pay enough attention to the acceptance principle. But I'm beginning to learn it's important. But if you can grasp on just one little thing, I've given you just one way that you might, when you recognize that we are the creator of us and it's impossible to judge somebody else. Try that next time you want to say something about somebody. Then you'll learn. Another question? Yes.
You mentioned principle, where by holding on to a principle, we are blinded to the other principles that are inherent in the same situation.
Yes.
To that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Would you elaborate on the other principles?
Let's take the puppy. We accept the puppy, and we recognize that he accepts us. But the idea is there that puppy can heal me. If I will pay attention to the principle. The healing process goes on in sick people. So the healing process goes on within the acceptance of the puppy, accepting me and I accepting him. That's one illustration of other influences. You see, it's acceptance or rejection principle that we're working with. So the rejection principle, if that the puppy wants me to love it and I reject it, that's still I'm working with the principle of acceptance. But I have not accepted, I have done the opposite. Then the puppy begins to not like me. Because I don't exude, you see, there are all kinds of vibrations coming from me to the puppy and from the puppy to me. We don't think so, but all the vibrations that are within light are active within the activity that the puppy brings to me and the light that I protrude, throw back toward the puppy, that I exude back to him. And he understands that. This is how once you accept your worst enemy, you'll find out that he's your best friend. That's another long story. But nevertheless, it works. If you don't believe it, go to your friend and say thank you. I mean your enemy. But don't try to explain what you're doing because you don't know what you're doing. But if you demonstrate a thankfulness to him, he's going to love you.
Now it's time for the thought for the day. And the thought for the day today is from reading 2936-2. And it reads, "Think well of others, and if you cannot speak well of them, don't speak, but don't think it either." And I love this because the Edgar Cayce readings made it very clear that thoughts are real things. So real, in fact, that they are actually the hand that is molding physical reality. In his lecture, J. Everett Erion explained that when you judge someone, you're actually passing judgment on your concept of that person, and it actually has nothing to do with the person. Countless wisdom traditions, including the Zen Buddhists and the Mayans, explain this principle by stating very simply that the world is illusory, meaning though you may believe you are passing judgment on people or things that are separate, having no effect on you, you're in reality participating in a feedback that's created by the complex interaction between your mind, body, and soul. This is why Edgar stressed the importance of being conscious of what you put out into your environment, what your life's message is to the world. The beauty of the teachings that came out of the Edgar Cayce reading lies in their practicality. Though other sources of wisdom can be very esoterical and hard to grasp, the words of Cayce remained relatable and reliable. His message to the world was try it out, see if it works, and the proof is going to be in the application. J. Everett Erion emphasized the importance of starting right where you are, accepting what's in front of you exactly as it is. This, he states, is the foundation of love. So to answer the age-old question of how to invite more love into your life, we have been given a very simple solution. Think and speak well of others. Be conscious of judgments you pass on others, because in reality, these are judgments passed on yourself. And in time, these negative thoughts are going to begin to take a toll on the physical body. This puts us in a position to take the power back in our lives, as every day we make conscious effort to clean up our thoughts and project into the world what we hope to get back from the world. Well, that's all the time we have for the show this week. Hope y'all enjoyed listening to one of my favorite lecturers, J. Everett Erion. To download the 40-day forgiveness prayer inspired by his work, you can visit edgarcayce.org/prayer. And that's edgarcayce.org/prayer. And don't forget to visit edgarcayce.org/radio for any shows that you may have missed. And check us out on Facebook at Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce Internet Radio Show. Love to hear you guys' feedback about the show. And until next week, I'm your host, Brenton Bickerstaff, reminding you to live a full life by accepting things just as they are, with love. Have a wonderful week, everybody.